By day, he worked as a janitor and dishwasher. By night, he visited a secret world where little girls fight a war against the evil Glandolinians. The secret world existed only in the mind of Henry Darger. Darger was a mentally ill artist who lived most of his life on the north side of Chicago. He died in 1973. John McGregor is an art historian who has also studied at the Menninger Foundation School of Psychiatry. McGregor spent 12 years researching Henry Darger's life and work. The result is a book, Henry Darger, In the Realms of the Unreal. According to McGregor, two key events shaped Darger's life and art. When Darger was almost 4 years old, his mother died after giving birth to Darger's sister, but the baby was immediately given up for adoption. 4 years later, Darger's father surrendered him, too. Henry lived in a Catholic mission, then in an asylum for feeble-minded children, even though he wasn't feeble-minded. At the age of 16, he ran away from the asylum. For the next 50 years, Darger performed menial labor at three Chicago hospitals and pursued his strange double life, as John McGregor explains.
That's the amazing part of the story, of course, because most people who live the life of dishwasher and so on don't have this other side to them. Henry had no other way of expressing himself than in this secret mode. And so in his room at night and on his day off, he began the elaboration of first a work of writing, a huge novel. It's the longest novel in the world, at 15,000 typewritten pages. And that was followed by sequels. But also he undertook to illustrate this novel with paintings, some of which are 12 feet long and 24 inches high. And they were all bound in books as part of this gigantic work, which no one ever saw. No one was ever permitted to see. Henry kept it concealed, and his entire alternate world inside of that huge work was also concealed. Nobody had any idea what he was doing in his room at night.
What is the novel about? It's called The Realms of the Unreal. I know it's 15,000 pages, and you can't condense that quickly, but is there a general description you can give us?
It's actually called The Story of the Vivian Girls in the Realms of the Unreal, of the Glandeco-Angelinian war storm caused by the Child Slave Rebellion. So it's the story, first of all, of seven little girls and their friends. They have many, many children friends, and they also have adult parents and so on. But it's the story basically of these heroines fighting against evil adults in a huge war, which was basically on the American Civil War, but in fact was a completely different event occurring in a completely different world, a child slave uprising against these evil Glandolinian adults. So in a way, you know, it's a world at war, a war-torn environment. It's a terrifying world, actually. And on the other hand, the children are enormously capable, little girls, capable of fighting a war with adults.
The story, as you describe it, is enough in itself, but then it's what happens during the course of this war between the children and the adults that makes it really rather terrifying. The Glandolinians didn't just fight the girls. They disemboweled them. They chopped them up. It's a work of imagination that's kind of frightening.
Yes. Henry's worldview at times becomes very, very dark and terrifying. The children are child slaves, but they don't actually do very much in terms of work. The entire interest of the Glandolinians, these adult males, is on torturing them and, you know, taking off their clothes, torturing them, and ultimately killing them in various ways. Darger is totally obsessed with strangulation and with disemboweling of children. So at that point, his illustrations become very frightening indeed, not something you'd want children to be confronted with. And the story is extremely explicit in its violence.
We've talked about the story more than we've talked about the artwork, and we should talk about some of these huge 12-foot-long mural-size paintings that he did.
Yes.
Tell me about them. They're fantastical landscapes, and there are clear differences from the world as we know it, aren't there?
Well, there certainly are. It's basically, of course, the world of the children, and they are illustrations of the text so that in many cases we can match text and picture very closely. They describe physically the world in which the children live, which at times is a very beautiful world, a garden sort of environment. At other times, storms take over. Nature participates in this story massively. So we have huge explosions, we have earthquakes, we have tornadoes, and all of these things are represented in the pictures. But basically, the pictures are pictures of the children moving through this war-torn world, surviving brilliantly. The children are a little unusual in that most of them are little girls, but they are all little girls who possess penises. They're still little girls. Darger's very clear about that. He never explains the presence of this unusual feature, but it's omnipresent in the work, and it's been one of the things that have intrigued everybody who encounters the work.
Any amateur looking at it would say that there is a confusion about the basis of sexuality.
Yes, and of course, people invariably ask why this would happen, and believe me, it's not an easy matter to respond to. I think at the very basis of it is this confused identity in Darger, a kind of merging with his sister. At one point in the book, he actually wrote a letter to his father, or they shared the same name, so the letter's addressed to Henry Darger, but one assumes it's the father because he says that because of the death of his wife and his foolish grief, as he puts it, the father gave up two children for adoption. And then he proceeds to say they were two beautiful little girls. Well, you know, right there you see the strange merging going on. Apparently Henry, in identifying so closely with his sister, didn't become necessarily all girl, but she became somehow in his imagination a child who never grew up, and a child who possessed a penis. So then all Ovivian girls, of course, have the same genital features, and then all the little girls have the same feature. It involves something that in psychoanalysis is referred to as knowing and not knowing, that on one level perhaps Darger knew, although it's extremely possible that he never saw a naked woman or a naked child in his entire life, but on some level he may have known, and on other levels he may not have wished to know.
The artwork in the book, is, it also strikes me, just again as an amateur looking at it, that it is a kind of knowing and not knowing. The figures represent a level of skill that's pretty high, but he was never taught. And I gather that he had some trouble with perspective.
He never was taught. He never studied art. And really, in order to create these images, which I don't think he thought of as art at all, they were simply a pictorial world that he lived in. He borrowed images from everywhere. He adopted his images in the same way that he wanted to adopt children by cutting out every single picture of a little girl he ever saw in his entire lifetime and collecting them in his room, but then using them for tracing into his works. And then at a certain point, he started using photographic enlargement, which had an enormous effect on the work because it enabled him to have much larger images and much simpler images. But every image of a child, or an adult for that matter, in the work is traced into the work, very much as Andy Warhol would later on borrow images and incorporate them into his work. The result is a sort of, when you encounter the work, you have this feeling of recognizing it and recognizing all the figures in it. But on the other hand, you can't quite place it. It's rather like what happens in a dream, where you borrow all the images, but then put them together in a strange new way. Darger's work is extraordinarily original. As a colorist, he's one of the finest colorists in American art, actually. And he's beginning to be appreciated on that kind of level. I mean, the respect with which Darger is now treated in the art world is astonishing.
Looking at his life, hearing you describe it, it's pretty clear that he suffered from some kind of mental illness. Can you diagnose him? Do you know, you think, what he had?
Yes, I do. But, you know, during the course of writing the book, I deliberately avoided this issue. In fact, I had no intention of dealing with it at all, despite the fact that I have training in psychiatry. I thought that the minute you give a label, a psychiatric label to somebody, it almost invariably precludes further thought. You cease to see the person as anything more than a label, and you don't begin to inquire into their reality, into the depth of their experiences, which are tremendously individualistic. So I didn't want that to happen with Henry. But then, after the book was finished, I realized that I was sort of chickening out, in a sense, not, you know, giving an opinion about the diagnosis. So I wrote an appendix to the book, which is called The Appendix and Diagnosis. And there I explore, first of all, many of the theories I'd had earlier on about what might have been the case with Henry. I went through a lot of different psychiatric syndromes, but ultimately I settled on Asperger's syndrome. And I did so in consultation with a fairly large body of psychiatrists because I'd presented this material over the years to many, many psychiatric institutions, and we talked about this, so that, you know, what ultimately emerged was Asperger's syndrome as the diagnosis.
Why did you do this? Why spend a dozen years of your life studying Henry Darger?
Well, you know, when I encountered the work of Darger, I was terribly struck by its power. I was actually looking for a subject to write a major monograph on. The minute I saw Darger, I knew I had to work on this man. And it took quite a while for me to be able to position myself so that I could do that. But ultimately, I won the trust of the people who had become the owners of the work. And they allowed me to have access on a basically unlimited scope to study this work. It involved commuting to Chicago, so I think it stretched out the work a little bit. But on the other hand, I didn't drown in this huge body of work, which you could easily have just become so absorbed in reading that you'd never write anything. It took 12 years. They were 12 fabulous years. I never lost interest at any time. I felt myself exploring a mind so deep, so broad, that it was like sailing on the ocean. It was totally, totally intriguing to me all the way through. And I hope that, you know, in writing about him, that somehow I've been able to capture something of the reality of this man. I don't think anybody could totally get hold of the vast extent of the mind that is there. But I certainly, you know, I put a lot of effort in trying to do that. Of course, I've written the longest book in the field. And maybe I owe some of that to Henry. He taught me how to write enormously long books. You know, I often worked in Henry's room. Henry's room was preserved. And so I most of my research was done in Henry's room. And there were times when I actually talked to Henry and told him what I was doing. And, you know, I liked the feeling that he was there. It was the most astonishingly haunted feeling room I've ever been in.
John McGregor is the author of Henry Darger in the Realms of the Unreal. As McGregor mentioned, he believes Darger had Asperger's syndrome. Asperger's syndrome is a neurological disorder. People with the disorder have trouble reading and responding to social cues. They have normal IQs and often exhibit exceptional skill or talent in a certain area.